The chair of the Arizona State Board of Selectmen deserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except the public hearing set for a specific time. During the board meeting, if on the board of the majority of the forum, the board may also go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open sessions. Roll call vote. Mrs. Harris? Joy Bowman, present. Thank you. Declaration of conflict of interest, or are there any conflict of interest today? Point four, review discussion of possible action on the board minutes meetings. Our last meeting was canceled due to no quorum, so there's one meeting minutes at this time. Item five, items from board review discussion of possible action. Upon vote, majority of quorum. Okay, let's go to formal hearing. Pursuant to ARS 32-4254, the board will hold a formal hearing to review discussing for possible action on the following file. Case number 19-173, Duval Police. Would this president please come up to the stage? And is the witness Dan A present today? So, to explain to the audience, we give anonymity, and so if a person is complaining, then we go on issues for privacy. And it does not reflect she's present. Is Mr. Palmese here? This is the date, time, and place for a matter dealing with case number 19-173, Duval Colonies, is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Slash Fair. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for the hearing are Victoria Bowman present. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing, response, answer, and all speeds of record. Will the parties please identify themselves?
Thank
you. Are you represented by an attorney?
No, sir.
Do you understand you have the right to be represented by an attorney? The law does not provide for the appointment of counsel. If you want an attorney, it is your responsibility to secure a paper one.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to self-representation at this hearing? Of course, you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceedings such as an appeal.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand that this hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
Do you understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the records you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered by a court in determining whether the board's decision is proper?
Yes.
Would staff review the file to determine if the respondent is properly served as the respondent responded to that? business court is for state ready to proceed.
Yes, ma'am. Sir, I do have a preliminary matter. Thank you, Mr. Board.
Okay.
You made a call for it. They need to come up and provide testimony. As of right now, this is not sitting next to me. So, at this time, it's difficult to proceed. And as you know, it matters. There's only two people who typically know what occurs. Alternatively, I would say perhaps we could recess this hearing for a matter of 15 minutes, maybe on the call for the name, see if you can just get away. We can try that as well. But if any doesn't hear it, then we don't have the right to pursue the complaint. The state would request that you continue this hearing to a future meeting, primarily in light of the unique circumstances where we are in an auditorium. A different location, and we would surprise me if something may have happened, and it just wants to participate. But for some reason, just couldn't make it for the environment. I don't know if that's broken, but so I would ask you to consider those options and perhaps at least delay the effort of updating that situation.
Is the board in the hearing for 15 minutes? Not recess for us, but they need time to see if they need to contact you to be present on the other side. We have eight bills for the phone.
Where
are those? If you will come to your next possible auditorium, you can leave yourself up. Mr. Harris? Would we be able to perhaps move to some investigative reviews? Okay. So, Mr. Ray, just relax and please sit there and sit back in the audience if you'd like it. Mr. Ray, would you see if you can get it in? Okay, so let's move on to investigative review files, and I would like to go to, this is C, number 320-114, Yon and Crum. Mr. Crum, would you go ahead and step down? Thank you. Mr. White, would you? This is Yon Feng Wong, President. You're holding up.
She was convicted for securing 14-0-1-8-0-0-5-7-3-5. Here for the Grand Forks County.
Thank you.
CDC included in this place.
I would suspect that Ms. Perry would notify board staff once she released her probation. There is, I believe, early termination. The board will not hang until she completes her probation. If she completes her, in fact, there is early release of probation, they can position the board as on board.
That's correct. And the order here is a 2-year order, so the board does have actually a little bit of a longer period. We didn't want to have a situation where probation could be extended for a variety of reasons, like criminally, including not failure and inability to pay a full restitution number or probation fees, things like that. The probation department has the authority to petition for additional probation time. And so what can happen is this, if that were to be extended, this contemplates this extending as well. So there's not an exit for her from this board order unless and until she is truly successfully completed her term of probation with the court system.
I think the question that I have for Ms. Blum is, we have an interpreter here today, and I feel that because it's important to understand, how are you going to be able to understand the importance of ethics and business practices? Or I guess my question is, do you have sufficient command of the English language to understand the importance of ethics and business practices? Speak louder, please.
She says she has 90% herself.
20%.
And I would say that the interpreter was here in part because this is a due process, so I wanted to ensure that when we're getting into some more of the sophisticated legal issues, that some of those concepts don't necessarily translate. The CEs, the majority of CEs that have a live component do require participation, and obviously there's a pre-screening element that the board engages the board, or the board says it engages in. She recognizes that she needs to have command over what the CEs do teach, and if she needs to make some reasonable accommodation to be able to do that, that's something she will do. Whether that would be bringing an interpreter or making use of materials that are formatted in other languages, she has conversational skills. She has the ability to hold a conversation, the ability to communicate effectively with the people that she treats. When you get into ethics and business, certainly she may benefit from having materials in other formats or materials that be perhaps a slower paced course or she has over to pull from the majority of retention. But there are definitely ways. We have a lot of people who English is not their first language who are able to function very well within this board and many of the other boards.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Questions or statements?
Statements?
Besides the kind of writing, the vast division of appointment, she's a message of prostitution, illegal total enterprise. We, as a board, we are not bound by what the courts do. I think this agreement is way too lax. I think she deserves to have her license taken for at least a year. And anything else that would be. This is Jonathan.
Would you like to move this to the board?
Yes, I'm John Ortega. I would like to move on case 2144 to a new.
Is there a second? Do I need to go for one?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passed. So. Staff will be in touch with you regarding a formal interview. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
come into the building? Is she in the audience at this time?
Appeared for a massage, I think it was a Groupon massage,
can't. She put his hands on her breast. She likes that he touched her breast, including her nipples, and in a sexual manner. She abruptly found her way out of the room, and she articulated that she said she had a pick up a child really quick, and she ended the massage early. She informed, when it was safe in her mind to do so, she informed the facility at the time. They spoke with Mr. Cummings at the time. She subsequently did make a police report to the Tucson Police Department. She described that there was some follow-up text messages and communication with Mr. Cummings that I understood from her complaint, and that he had suspected something else was wrong, or at least he had been informed of her complaint, and I believe he even offered some free services to her, so that it was her allegation. She did appear earlier in the proceedings, but for the record, she is not here today, and we will rely on her written complaint as where it'll help us get back to the record for it. She'll be our only witness, but the state will, of course, have questions for the comments.
Thank you. Does the respondent wish to make an opening statement?
I remember it was a slight touch with my wrist. There wasn't never a hand on nipple or anything.
Will the state please call its first witness?
The state would call Investigator Andrew White. Mr. White, just for the record, we all mentioned earlier this morning, but could you just provide your name and your title there at the board?
My name is Andrew White. I'm an investigator for the Arizona Side.
And Mr. White, in this case, did you receive a complaint from a client with the initials NA?
Yes, I received it July 1st, 2019.
Okay. And do you have a copy of her complaint with you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you ever have the opportunity to speak with NA?
Yes.
Okay. Once or multiple times?
Probably four times.
Okay. And so you read her written complaint, I'm sure?
Yes.
And did you find that her written complaint and your communications with her by telephone or otherwise were consistent with each other?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Now, in my opening statements, I mentioned that she had had a massage at Envision on May 22nd, 2019. Does her complaint describe her experiences on that date?
Yes.
Okay. Now, it's not much better to do other than to have you read to the board that complaint, so I'd ask if you could read that complaint for us. It's a page and a half single space, so it may take a moment for me to take the board's patience.
I have filed a thorough complaint with the Tucson Police Department with Officer Gutierrez, badge number 37097. The police case number is 19052403. I'm sure you have a copy of that. I authorized the Society Board to obtain a copy. The report of Officer White and Tucson Police Department was filed within days of his assault by Jabbar. Is that true to his entirety? I will briefly state what happened. I had my breast fondled as well as my nipple on both breasts. He attempted to place his right hand from the center of my breast using a poking motion with his fingers. That was aggressive. He moved down my body over my abdomen, past my waist, between my hips, and to the top of my pelvic area. I pulled my knees up just within a split second of him touching my vagina area. If he would have moved his hand an inch, he would have touched my vagina area directly in the middle of my clitoris. I was frozen in fear, waiting to hear the owner, Michelle's voice, and wondering if she was still in the building. By the grace of God, I heard her, and that's when my legs shot up and I told him that I needed to leave. I had to forgive my son. He asked me if I wanted him to rub lotion he had put on me into my skin and body. I declined while he was poking my body, and I was face up. He was always in his standing position, bent over the top of me, with his head around my abdomen area. I felt blocking me into a vein face up, so I couldn't sit up because I would not into him if I had tried. That's why I raised my knees suddenly and shot him and shouted about my child. I was sitting running scenarios in my head of how I was going to get out of the room for about 15 minutes and took him aside. At one point, old face down, he roughly bent my arm behind my back and said, "Have you ever had your arm dislocated?" I told him, "No, why?" He said it was part of his job to ask. I did not feel out of any form while I was there. He stated, for time's sake, he would speak to me while on the table before the Messiah. He was 40 minutes late. At no time did he ask medical history of any kind, or did I sign anything. When I was leaving, he tried not to punch my coupon as used. I stood in front of Michelle until he would extremely mad. The word is do nothing to himself. When he was sighing under his breath, he ushered me out the building extremely fast. I stood out in the courtyard, looked in the window. As soon as I saw him close the door and go inside, I opened the main entrance and whispered to Michelle to come outside. I then told her what happened, and she referred the complaint to the section of the website. She also provided his real last name and said that he would take professional action according to the conduct. Everything I have stated is true and accurate. For 3 days after the assault, he tried calling me and texting me, offering me two-hour massages. I have never spoken to him after or replied to any of his messages. While driving in the parking lot, the barber walking in front of my vehicle, staring at me, menacing and sneering at one point, even chuckling. I want to ensure other women's safety. I want to ensure other women's safety from him. This did not seem like his first rodeo. And I also got a report from the owner of the building, Michelle Moore, and she said that on May 23rd, the day after the incident. And the incident corresponds with the exact same thing that NA and voted on.
Okay, so the facility and the NA had described, you received a complaint from her as well?
I got that one first.
Okay. And if I understood you correctly, she recounted what NA had told her?
Yes.
Okay. And did you ever have, did you ever speak with Evelyn?
Yes.
Okay. It was her story and her sister.
So it was
but she didn't claim to be in the room, just no. That she had heard.
She just verified what NA and told her what happened.
And that, I don't know if further questions for Ms. Martin.
Thank you. Would you like to cross-examine Mr. White? Would you like to ask Mr. White any questions?
No. Just make statements.
Okay. Do you have any regret?
No. I'll state regrets.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Could you give your side of massage?
Walk her outside to the courtyard. She talked to the lady inside of the room, and then once they started talking, I went back into my massage room. She left me a tip as well, $9 cash tip. I picked that up, then I grabbed my keys, then I exited the room, my massage room. Then I left, I said thank you for the cash tip, and I saw her and the other lady talking still. So I said bye to them, and I said thank you to her again for the cash tip. And to state that we were talking the whole time during the massage, and I would like to know why she didn't say anything about that. We talked about things such as very personal things like her son, relationships, life, and she was having surgery on her body. She had skin trimming, like when you lose weight. She lost 150 pounds. She's not saying that we talked during this massage or anything, and all massage therapists we're body readers. So if you have anything like pain wise, we're known to pick up on it. And she did not lift her legs or anything, and she had to think of something to say to leave. We were talking the whole time. It was normal. And yes, that's all I have to say about that. And the massage, I wasn't next to that. And her breast stroke was with my wrist. It was never with my hand. And that's it.
Washington.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Cummings, you agree you did provide massage therapy services? For NA?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that was at Envision, is that the right name?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And she indicated that she had come in on a Groupon, is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And she had described that you ultimately didn't punch, I think that was the word she used, punch a Groupon or use that thing that she had purchased. Could you tell me about that? Did that occur?
That's another thing. I'm pretty sure I did it, but she's making it seem like she had a weight or something. I did it immediately as she walked out. The other therapist is also here. The other lady is also here, and if she wants to say that I didn't walk her to the courtyard or they stayed in the room, in the lobby room that we both shared. Yeah, it's just a couple of false things.
Okay, well, let's talk about the massage. She did describe it ending early. Did it end early?
Yes, sir.
Okay. About how early, how long was the massage scheduled for?
90. We did about 30 minutes.
Okay. So, did that seem odd to you? Did she give you an excuse of why she would have terminated 60 minutes early?
Yes, sir. She said she had to pick up her son from, I don't remember, from daycare or school, I'm not sure.
Okay, is that something like that ever happened to you 30 minutes into a 90-minute massage?
No.
And, you know, she described speaking with the this woman that we've discussed. I'm not sure if she's the owner or the manager, but the woman who filed the additional document. Did you observe her having that discussion as well?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you recall what was the nature of the massage? Was it full body, sports massage, relaxation? Do you remember?
It was just going to be a upper body massage. I'm deep tissue.
Okay. And do you remember whether, to what extent did she disrobe? Was she wearing anything above the waist?
I can't recall.
Okay. But you do recall, at some point, your wrists making contact with her breasts. But you can't recall whether they were good or not.
I don't remember about the blow of the waist. I just remember that she was not wearing clothes above the waist.
Okay, thank you. Now, She described that it sounded like the portion of the massage that she received, you were sitting at the head of the table, reaching over down towards her feet. Does that seem accurate to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you were using some kind of technique that involved your wrists making contact with her breast. Is this a technique that you use?
No, sir. That was an accident.
An accident. Well, if you could, I would ask that maybe if you could just describe your technique working around the upper pectorals or the chest region that would have resulted in that mistake. Could you describe that for the board?
It's a tendon stretch.
Okay, they may know what that means. I can tell you I don't. So just describe the strokes and the technique that you use.
So you're going to push down into the tissue, and then you're going to stretch it towards away from the bone, away from your.
Which muscle group are you working on?
Stern, upper, in the sternum.
Okay. And are you using strokes that are moving vertically from the head down to the foot, or horizontally out to the shoulders?
Out to the shoulders.
Okay. And what manner of draping could you apply for that stroke?
Sheet above the breast tissue, or not breast tissue. Above the a little bit of breast tissue, not even close to the areola.
So, how was it, if you could describe, how was it that with the draping in place, that your wrist would have made contact with her breast, including her nipples, as she described? Did your hands go under the drape?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you're working the upper chest. Is it a motion like this, out to the sides?
Just one-handed.
Just one-handed. Okay. And she did not describe, or she said specifically that she did not sign any written consents for any breast massage. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Do you ever perform breast massage intentionally?
No, sir. Just, no, sir.
And so I would take it maybe you don't have any consent forms handy if you wanted to perform that as a request for that service?
No, sir.
Okay. What types of oils or lotions were you using that day?
Coconut oil.
Okay. Is that your standard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There was some description of there being, I think it was something of the nature of CVS or Walgreens brand lotion left in the room when the manager was injured. Do you have an explanation for that? Is that yours as well?
Yes, I also have one. I use one.
Okay. And maybe could you just describe, and maybe of interest to the board, what was the professional relationship you had there? It sounded maybe like you were renting space or you weren't there all the time. What was your involvement with that? So,
renting space.
Okay, could you just describe that in a little more detail? How did that work? How long were you there?
I'm not sure. I want to say about a year. We have it's three rooms. So you walk in, then there's a lobby. Then there's one room to your right, which is that ladies, the other ladies. And then we have my room in the middle. And then another ladies to the straight in front of us, which is she does facials.
Okay. And there was some description from Investigator White that the facility had indicated they had asked you to take your belongings and part ways. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did that happen that very day or the next day? When did that occur?
That same day. Also, I had another massage, so I left after, when they were talking, I left, so I'm not sure why she said the thing about what I was doing in front of the car, because I wasn't prepared. When I said by the ladies and walked past with the tip, that's when I left, and I went to go eat lunch. And then I came back, and that's when I had a discussion with the other lady.
Okay, and it was at that time she asked you to back up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have you been practicing since?
Yes.
Okay, what types of massages do you currently perform?
The deep tissue sports massage, green ale, Swedish, and relaxations.
Okay, and what locations do you do that?
Mobile.
Mobile. Okay, so how does someone find you to secure your services? Are you still using Groupon?
No, sir.
Okay. So how would one find you for to obtain massage therapy services?
Social media or word of mouth. Referrals is my number one.
Okay, so whether it's new clients or repeat, and currently, then perhaps it's more likely that you're attending their place of work or their home. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and do you massage both male and female clients?
Yes, sir.
And just ballpark, how many clients do you think you see in a month? Or if it's easier, a week, you can add it up.
Around 30, maybe 25 out of 1.
Were you ever contacted by the Tucson Police Department regarding this incident?
No, sir.
She described in her complaint that you had some follow-up interaction over, I believe it was text message or social media. Did that occur?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what was the purpose of that? Because at that point, you knew she made a complaint, correct?
I talked to that lady and she told me. Yes.
But then you had follow-up communication with the client?
Yes.
Okay. Did you reach out to her?
Yes, sir.
And she described that you offered her some, I think she said a couple 2-hour massages. Is that accurate?
I don't remember, but it sounds not too far-fetched.
Okay. So what was the reason for those, for that offer?
I never had a client complain. I was kind of not sure what to do. So a couple of free massages, I think she was surprised, or give her money back for gas and traveling and all that, whatever she would like. I wrote that in my letter as well.
Okay, and she said that she never responded to you. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so since the day of the massage, you've never spoken with NA?
Yes, sir.
Correct. Okay.
Somehow.
I'm pretty sure I knew that in session.
Demonstrate that to us?
Using my right hand.
Some clarification, please, Mr. Chair Bowman. Were you running 40 minutes late?
Yes, ma'am.
And could I have a reason for why?
It's a hospital event. It's a hospital event.
Leasing from that, and
she's seen me mature, so she's seen me mess up a lot, and she's seen me go through it, you know.
So, you'd like to ask some questions?
She's received a massage from me. I guess we could ask, how was it?
I believe we need to confine the questions to the case at hand, please.
Okay. I don't have any. I just wanted her to speak on my behalf, just make it seem like if I did go to.
Okay. Mr. Rain, do you have any questions for Ms. Moore?
Yes, Ms. Moore, I'm sorry. I don't think you were expecting to be up here. So, I do have a copy of your complaint that you filed with the board. Did you present it? Okay.
Please speak into the microphone. Thank you.
Okay, and so, was it accurate that this client did approach you to give you this massage and tell you as was described? Okay. And in your complaint, you specify that you spoke with Mr. Calmese. What you write, we find it here with me. He wrote, as I began explaining to him about what happened in his treatment, he sat down and did not seem to be surprised by anything, which makes me feel as though he seemed to just be caught doing things he shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
it did not seem like the first time.
Okay, and did you describe at that time when you informed him that it had progressed to a sexual conversation?
Because I was not in there, I said there were allegations made that I can or cannot say were done because I was not in the room. But out of my due diligence, out of what I believe is what our industry is about, I had to make sure that he knew he was no longer welcome in my place of business. And I also assumed that I hope that he did not continue to do any massage practice on anybody because this had to be taken care of first.
Thank you. And now you also describe the room being a little bit disheveled.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, could
you? There were empty lotion bottles on the floor. There was no coconut oil at all. There was lotion spots all over the floor, and it was dirty. And I don't know how many times I've asked for that to be cleaned up, because if I had to use it at any or I had, you know, personal trainers that would come in and out that would possibly have to use it for some other things that they were doing as far as pain management, but it wasn't going to happen. It was disgusting.
Okay. Now, when you spoke with the client, initial RNA, did she seem upset?
She was crying. She broke down in the courtyard.
And so you did go with her down into the courtyard area?
The courtyard's right outside of my office.
And did she seem to want to discuss this with you privately without the family's present?
Yeah.
Did she describe it? Which for you?
No, he walked back into the room after the weird interaction of him not wanting to take her from one to one. So he did not take her from one. And then, as she walked out of the front door, he walked up to his room and closed his door. She poked back in to the office and said, "Can I talk to you outside?" And I said, "Absolutely." And that's how she said everything she said in her report. And I immediately, he walked and left the courtyard. So I don't know if he stayed in the parking lot or not. And if he stayed at the front door, that's not, I wasn't there. But I immediately brought her back into my office. I gave her a non-emergency police department line. The police officers would not take my report because I was not a witness. It was a hearsay. And I immediately reported to the state board. I said she had. And Group 1. I asked for her to make sure she reported to Group 1 as well.
Okay. And I have no further questions. Thank you.
Do you have any cross-examination?
No.
Questions from the board? I do, Mr. Was he late for the massage?
Yeah, he was actually, I think I had just finished my first treatment for the day. And that was probably, I can't remember the times, but then she was in the lobby when I started my first treatment, pacing up and down. Inside the lobby, kind of like making rustling noises with her paper or whatever she had. And I finally asked her if she needed help. help, and she said he was late, and I called him, and he said, have her call me, and I've had to do that many times in the past. She also explained to me that this was her third time making an appointment with him, that he knows he did not show up with. This time he was 40 minutes late, or whatever, however many minutes. He was 40 minutes late, or however, he wasn't there at the time.
And he was an independent contractor.
Yeah, absolutely. Not an employee. I don't have any employees, so I just rented them.
And how long have you been, if you're a licensed massage service? And how long have you been licensed?
7 years.
Thank you. Any questions?
I do have a question. Mr. Collins mentioned that you were his mentor for the past year or so.
No, I tried, but there was a lot of stuff that was kept feeling like it was hot air being alone, so I stopped.
Okay. And, you mentioned that you had seen him through some mistakes that they made, seen him get better. Was that what you had just described as being late or not showing up?
I don't want to put myself accountable to anybody else's wrongdoings, but the issue that I had was I did notice he did not have any intake form, so I told him why he did not have intake form, why he did not ever question what your clients were coming in with. It's such a huge thing to have and not have. And so I think I've even given him a copy of my intake form so that he can just translate it on his own and make it his own. I don't think he ever used any. But that's not for me. It's not my experience.
Just one. Any questions? Thank you. Does the respondent rest?
Yes.
The state may represent the closing argument.
I'm having trouble with members of the board. So, is it an ideal situation where we did not get to hear from NA, but we did hear from Mr. White reciting it was her complaint that was made, I believe he said, in July. This event took place in May. She did, of course, make the immediate complaint to Ms. Moore, who you just heard from. She essentially said that the complaint was what she had just heard earlier. She heard the testimony from Mr. White read the complaint. We don't have for you a copy of the police report, but she did also take that step. So I think there's lots of indicia here that this complainant had an immediate reaction to whatever occurred in that room. There's no dispute that she terminated this 90-minute massage after 30 minutes, after waiting 30 to 40 minutes for him to appear. And so there was clearly a reason for her to behave that way. It sounded like she had been trying to make this massage occur over a number of times and then just to terminate it so abruptly, but then also report to the facility owner, manager, Ms. Moore, and make the board complaint. In addition to appearing for earlier proceedings here at the board, she's been consistent in there is reason to believe her written complaint, although you didn't get to see her with your own eyes. In administrative law, as you know from past cases, hearsay is admissible. So the hearsay complaint that we have, it's not as good as live testimony, of course. But that's what we have. And so we ask you to consider those other items that lend some support to that complaint. That it was consistent, that it was made immediately, that there was physical action that she took, and just financial steps she took of canceling something valuable like that, that all lend to the credibility of her written complaint. You did hear from Mr. Calvies, and I wouldn't think that that gave you any more comfort. Because he had some difficulty explaining this procedure, the stroke that he used, I was unable to understand it. He acknowledged that he had done a poor job draping that required him to go under the drape. It wasn't clear if that's what caused what he called an accident with his wrist touching her breast, but there's nothing in your statutes about sexual activity and breast massage that really describe which part of your body you use. There is no loophole that if you don't use your hands and you engage in a breast massage, that it's no longer a breast massage. Breast massage is any massage that is below the midpoint of the areola. And there's nothing in the record other than her complaint describe what happened, and he seems to acknowledge that it did happen, just unintentionally, and perhaps less so than she described. So I think there's plenty in this record for you to find the state has proven the allegations that were raised in the complaint. And just to remind you that that is essentially this, that Mr. Cummings performed a breast massage without written consent. A breast massage is defined as sexual conduct, sexual activity, and it is a violation of your statutes to engage in sexual activity with a client. That's 4253B2C. Breast massage is defined there. As well, your statute, 4253A16, makes it a violation to not adhere to the standards of your profession. And those standards, some of those are set forth in your rules. Rule R415-103-1H is a rule that says you're not to engage in sexual activity with a client. And we know that, again, sexual activity includes a breast massage without written consent. In addition, we cited the licensee for violation 4253A10, and that is engaging in any sort of harm, any sort of conduct that could harm the public. Again, we've gone over this many times in past matters, but the could harm the public is the crucial part that you should understand. Even dangerous conduct is citable under that statute, even if no harm does occur. I think NA would certainly say, and has in her complaint, that she was harmed emotionally, if anything. And she could be harmed as well by the conduct of, if only a rapid massage, if Thomas was running late, because he did a poor job draping, that's all conduct that could have been prevented, and does have the potential to cause harm, whether because the drape falls off and exposes the client unnecessarily, or because he accidentally performed a breast. So I would ask that you consider finding that the state has proven those allegations of causing harm or engaging in sexual activity or violating your standards that prohibit sexual activity, and adopt as your finding of fact the state's factual allegations, and adopt as your conclusions of law the allegations of unprofessional conduct, and then to enter an order that you think is appropriate. Of course, you have all your remedies available to you: probation, suspension, revocation. We'd ask that you consider those, and the state would defer to your judgment as to what you think is an appropriate punishment. It does sound like there are some additional educational needs just from the testimony. The state hasn't cited Mr. Cummings for generally being incompetent in any way that was all related to this specific massage. But of course, as you hear testimony, you may decide that there is some need generally for education as part of the remedy for the violations the state did.
Thank you for your time. Thank you. Mr. Cummings, you may present the closing statement.
I have none.
Thank you. Does the state wish to make a brief rebuttal statement?
No, thank you.
Having heard the testimony and received the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin the general discussion or entertain motions. Anybody like to start?
I have a hard time with the lack of draping, secure draping. For myself, I always prefer to drape high and tight because it helps prevent things like this from happening. And the fact that trying to use the hand to move around, it doesn't seem like there was any communication between the therapist and the client that could have prevented the issue from happening. So I really have a hard time with the communication and the draping. It is a shame that it did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have a hard time with the term accident, especially when other professional boundaries aren't made with people working with explanation of services, with admittance to a sloppy trade. the physical demonstration technique that Mr. Kelmy's provided us can be construed as an appropriate point of view. So there's a number of different layers on this one for me.
I think we just need to accept all the findings of fact and decide on what we're going to do after that.
The first item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint gives factual allegations at pages 3 of 5, paragraphs 2, 3, and 4. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations.
I move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by proponents of the evidence the factual allegations of the complaint. I move that the board adopts these allegations as the board's findings of fact.
John McKay, may I second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. The second item for discussion is a conclusion of law.
I move that the board finds that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and or rules set forth in the complaint and adopt the allegation, the alleged violations as the conclusions of law.
To the end, do I second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries. The final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 32-4254. A, dismiss the case if in the opinion of the board there is not substantial evidence to support a violation of the board's statutes and rules. 2, file an advisory letter. 3, file a letter of reprimand. C, D, issue an order of probation with specific terms and conditions. C, suspension. F, E, suspension. F, revocation.
Well, I think if we're going to give them classes, we need to give them time to reevaluate his practice, so he needs at least to have a 1-year suspension from all this. What's that?
I agree with John. I think that suspension is warranted.
I'm a bit of a newbie on this one, so I'm really following your lead here, but I think suspension is at the minimum.
The question I'm going to ask is revocation off the table?
No.
No.
To quote John in past cases, we have to protect the court.
I would agree with that, with the other layers of no paperwork, no consent agreements, no conversation of the actual work that's going on, that at least in my book, is extremely unethical practice. So,
does the board feel that a suspension with education help this therapist come into the office and research the public health?
John, I think I do. Whether that would be successful, I don't know. I'd be willing to try that.
Giving him an opportunity to correct the discrepancies, the inconsistencies that he's had. Give him an opportunity, but I think suspension would be warranted under this situation. With the city's drafting communication happens.
As well as the suspension for review.
I I would like to see if business practices fit into it, because I'm concerned about running late on calls, not handling the practice of professional matters. So while I think that the seriousness of the informal touch and why people would have interview is very important, I also think having the knowledge to handle this business in a professional way is important as well. So, Mr. White, when is Mr. Palmy's license up for renewal?
That'll be 1/30/2021.
21. How many hours can be appealed for education?
Then the 24 hours.
With all of this, it's going to take at least 24 over and above what you would normally have to do for renewal just to be able to.
Yeah, plus is normal.
Yeah, get this done. So that's.
So, of those 24 hours, our topics are ethics, raping,
communication,
business practices. Shall we do 6 hours of each?
Sure.
So you know that education is going efficient. Educating us differently into how we can increase the progression of business practices and ensure that the public safety is kept in mind.
And at the end of 1 year, he has to come back before the board to prove that he's taken all of this and show us that he's taken from all the suspension and that he just followed through with all of it.
Okay, so what I have down, 1 year suspension, 24 CEs to be completed within that your time period, in addition to the CEs necessary for renewal, 6 in ethics, 6 in breaking, 6 in communication, and 6 in business practices, and classes would need to be in class, pre-approved by the board. And some of those might be a longer class and we combine several of those topics into one. So, in other words, communication and business practices might be a joint class.
Yeah, the business practices and communication and the ethics class.
For a total of 24 hours, in addition to this continuing education for renewal at his renewal date of 1/30/21. Is there anything else that we need to or wish to put into this? Mr. Harris, let me continue.
Specifics that the CE needs to be completed within a period of suspension, it needs to be pre-approved. And in addition to the requirements for review.
From the boys, I think.
From the boys. And I do believe that he's a good therapist. I'm worried to step up and say that you can re-educate, bring yourself up to standards to protect the public and the community. So, is there a motion?
Before we move to that, I would just say that my opinion is that just education, to me, feels a little bit light. I think, given the life that he's been licensed, the ethics and business practices that are taught in school to become licensed should be a quality standard across the board as soon as we become licensed. With the number of players that we're looking at here, I think just education feels like that is a thing. I would suggest, you know, a civil penalty at the very least. This is really the first time I've waited on anything on this side, but so I don't know what amount is not really talking for that. But you know, it's education that gets us licensed, and that should set the standard, I think, for the practice in Arizona with the number of hours that we have. And given the statements and given the testimonies that we've done, just education might be able to really learn a lesson from this. I mean, we're really looking forward to that with this education. Obviously, restitution to the client for paid services, and I don't quite know if there's a proper term, but you know, it's a fine of some sort or something along those lines to really throw some weight behind. You know, we're not just assigning classes because of this allegation. We want this to be built and ensure that the lesson has been learned. I mean, for a year from now, that we are confident reinstating effective lessons.
The board is not typically willing, and if we do have a right to do it, the civil penalties that we've done in the past have been primarily for those that are failed to ignore our service as a charge, but we understand and it is included in our staff.
To experiencing this here, but I might prefer to maybe get over to things that are more
experienced. We're going to start finding for this maybe a $200 fine, $250 fine, but we need to do $100 for the $200 fine.
I think $250
would be good. Okay.
So a civil penalty of $250. Does that include the restitution or what?
No.
Restitution. Mr. Harris, how do we handle that restitution when, in fact, I don't think she wants any communication with Mr. Cummings? Can it be run through our office or?
Typically, that's not how it's handled. I don't know if there's any way to communicate, you know, with her. And at this point, not that you don't have the authority, you clearly do have the authority, but she hasn't asked for it in the complaint.
Okay.
And given the sensitivity that may be raised by having the two interact, perhaps you can address it in other ways.
So, would you be comfortable with granting the $250 civil penalty and no restitution because she did not request that?
Sure, yes.
Okay. Are there any other comments from the board? Okay. So, we have come to a conclusion of 1 year suspension, 24 hours. Continuing education in class board approved in the topics of ethics, grade and communication, and business practices in equal amounts, and a civil penalty of $250. This is to be completed within a 1 year suspension. Do we have a time frame of the civil penalty?
It should be sent within a year.
Within a year? Okay. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I apologize. We're doing this in real time, and I just want to make sure that there is a provision for civil penalties. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's within the $250. Thank you.
Okay.
I just didn't want us to order anything that you didn't provide.
Okay. I make a motion to suspend the license for up to 1 year with continuing education classes of JV communication ethics and business practices for 24 hours, six hours each. So the penalty of $250 to be paid within 1 year, and then come back before the board on the 4th.
And then those hours are in addition to
his his normal annual hours of 24.
Board approved.
In class, not online.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Kevin Ramsey, I second.
Okay, this needs to be a roll call vote. Mr. Ramsey?
Kevin Ramsey, aye.
Jennifer Tegley, yes.
Emily Clark, aye. Victoria Bowman, aye. The motion passes. You will be contacted by board staff. Thank you. Let us move on to, this is a formal interview, case 20-110, Ronnie Harris. Is Ronnie Harris in the audience?
Yes.
Thank you. He would be escorted up. On Monday, October 28th, 2019. This is a formal interview regarding Ronnie Harris, case number 20-110. Are you represented by an attorney today?
No, ma'am.
Okay, please state your name.
Ronnie Harris.
My name is Victoria Bowman. I'm chairman of the board and professional board member. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a consumer or a professional board member.
That's Kevin Ramsey, I'm a professional board member.
John Dagan, public member.
Emily Clark, professional board member. You have received a letter informing you of the matter to be discussed today, the process for the formal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. The purpose of this formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and decide the outcome. We will hear a brief summary of the case and then interview you. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during the interview, you may ask them through me. If you choose not to participate in this formal interview, a formal hearing may be requested at this time. So, to the court reporter, please swear the licensee in.
Please raise your hand.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. White, would you please give us a summary of the case?
On her buttocks, walking side.
Mr. Wayne should like call Audrey Coleman. Is she present?
I'm not sure if she's present.
Okay. If LG is in the audience, would she please come forward? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Harris, would you like to give us your side point of view?
Yes. I actually met her through one of the therapists, and for about 3 months we had talked, maybe in the hallways and in the lobby, so we had got to know each other first. And then the first session, everything went fine, nothing crazy or anything like that. Second session, conversation was about her personal life and us, nothing as sexual. And then during the second session, like I said in the first meeting, I usually have my eyes closed when massaging somebody so close. And so while I had my eyes closed, she decided to pull my pants down and put them in her mouth. And I had told her, with her being a licensed massage therapist as well, would you want me doing this in your practice? And she said, no. And I said, well, why would you do it in mine? And so she asked after that, would she still have sex here? And I said, no. And so I told my manager, you know, she was very inappropriate and she shouldn't be on my schedule at all. And so for 4 months, I would see her in the hallway in passing, and I would still be courteous and still say hi. She would say, you know, I tried to book with you, didn't get a chance to book with you because you're poorly booked, whatever. We had a new manager step in, and my new manager came in to me after my session and told me she was here. And she came in under a different name, and we didn't know she came under a different name. And so I told my manager, I said, it probably wouldn't be a good idea, considering that, yes, I did have feelings for her. I said, it probably wouldn't be a good idea for me. The management argued with me and said, no, everything's going to be okay. And then the third session is when she came in my room. I closed the door. She had got naked and on the table real quick and said, it's okay with family. And it caught me off guard. And so I still proceeded with the massage anyway because I did not want to get her in trouble. But I told her, I said, you can't keep doing this. And so when I got to her feet and was massaging her feet, she rubbed her feet on me, and I got into my head, and yes, I did pull it out, but I told her, I said, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. After that, we talked for about 5 months through text message, because she did state that she wanted a relationship with me, and I told her that's fine, and we tried to get to know each other in the process. So that was about it. She stopped talking to me at around the end of March. Still have those text messages as well. That's it. And also have a witness. Also have a witness on how she was acting in the room with my witness as well, just on text messages.
Was your witness in the room with you?
No.
Would any board member like to begin a question?
John, I'm taking this. This board is not giving up the relationship or anything like that, but in some of your texts, you seem to be asking her out, but you seem to be asking her out in terms of when you're next, when she can book a next appointment. I mean, you're not asking if you can take her to Starbucks or whatever bars are here in Tucson, right in Tucson. That seems to be crossing the line between your professional life and your personal life. And when you do that, that's when you wind up in front of us. So, why were you doing that?
Like I said, I just got caught up with her. I agree with you, there's no explanation as far as, you know, my actions was concerned. I liked her a lot, and I wanted to give her a chance, and I wanted to be professional as I possibly could, but I just got into my feelings.
Thank you.
Mr. White, is LG currently a licensed massage therapist? Did she renew?
No, she hasn't.
She has not renewed?
No.
Okay. How long was she, if you have that information in front of you, how long was she licensed?
2014.
Okay. And so she was, she went through, right, and she went through one renewal?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And then she did not choose.
And she works at a chiropractor or physical therapist. And she's not, well, and she was, it's a physical therapist class. And she wasn't quite, she wasn't quite because we knew her life. She's working at a chiropractor.
Okay.
But she said she told me she was going to do it, and I told her different class and different issues. So quickly get it done, but she got me moved.
And do you know what her renewal date was?
I talked about it, it was in the last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that. Okay. Ms. Clark, do you have any questions for Mr. Harris?
I have a hard time with the fact that at the time that you're both licensed massage therapists, and you say that you knew what was happening was wrong at that time. I have a hard time understanding why you didn't say, nope, that's it, nope, I'm leaving, bye, at that moment when it first happened, instead of letting it continue, because it's every therapist's right as a therapist to stop the session when things get out of hand. And obviously, what you just said, stated to us, you did not stop the session. Why did you not stop the session?
Like I said, I was in my feelings at the time.
I have a couple of questions. Mr. Harris, are you currently employed?
Yes, I am.
Where?
I actually have two massage jobs. One is at Body Sense in Scottsdale, Mache, and then I do chair events for In Touch Wellness as well. And I have letters from both of those jobs of how I've been since I've been employed with them. I also told FedEx as soon as it happened what I did, and I also have a letter from my manager as well.
At the time when you were employed at Elements, I assume they have policies that you sign in. I'm sure there's a couple of them that explicitly talk about sexual activity.
At the time, I can't remember them giving me something to sign that says anything like that at the extent of where it was like massaging.
Okay. And then, so you did admit to the second session. She wrote on you with
yes.
Me, and you complied
yes.
With her actions. That's it.
Okay. Mr.
Ortega?
Okay. Any other questions? I guess for me, and the comment I have is it bothers me that the two massage therapists were in the same room when this occurred, and we don't have any statutes that say we can't be friends with other massage therapists. We go to school with them, we interact in classes with them, but for me, it's very inappropriate that it should happen in a massage room. Keep your professional life professional, keep your personal life personal. So that's my comment. The board, do we have any further questions? No? Okay. The board will now deliberate. After a formal interview, the board may take any of the following action. Dismiss if the complaint is without merit. B, take any of the following actions. One, or, yes, one, issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. Two, issue a non-disciplinary action requiring the licensee to complete a prescribed number of continuing education hours in the area prescribed by the board. Three, issue a letter of reprimand which would state the factual basis for the reprimand and statute and rule that were violated. Four, issue a decree of censure which includes finding the facts and conclusions of law. Five, impose probation which may include suspension not to exceed 12 months or restitution of the license and include finding the facts and conclusions of law. Six, enter into an agreement to restrict or limit the licensee's practice to retrain, rehabilitate, or assess the licensee, protect the public, ensure licensee's ability to safely practice. Seven, order restitution to include an order to repay fees paid by a massage therapy client and for the cost of the investigation. And eight, impose a civil penalty of at least $1,000, but not more than $10,000, or number C, refer to a formal hearing for revocation or suspension of the license. Do we have any discussion?
I know that, John Pick, I know that we always give classes, and I know that sounds important. I suppose a civil penalty would be fine, but does it have to be $1,000?
Up to. It says impose a civil penalty of at least $1,000, but not more than $10,000. So, Mr. Harris, is there any? No, I have to go to Mr. Ray. Excuse me.
You may have
to. Up to $1,000. Okay.
Thank you.
You also have the
So we can go to, we can offer a consent agreement.
You can impose a discipline if you want to use anything else that you have to do.
Okay.
I'd like to challenge you once you're here.
Go ahead, go for it.
Two professional massage therapists in the same room having sexual activities, to me, is not appropriate in any way, shape, or form. It has to be professional, and if it's not, what makes them think that something like this could not happen again with a client in future sessions? With another, not necessarily a professional massage therapist, but with another client. What makes me think that it won't happen again? I'd rather go to one more.
Mr. White, have we had any communication with LG as to her coming forward to...
I've talked to her several times. The last time we were having a full form, she said that she had to go to take care of her dad or something like that. I heard that. I got a message in email, mail, no response.
My feeling is we need to protect the public. And as long as it doesn't fall in love with any client I have, then I think this might be the one time. So, revoking his license, I don't know if I could go that far. Suspend his license, I could do that. But that's my opinion. And why we should go to court.
I agree with Emily. While I commend you for being honest, I still think it is a serious lapse of judgment. And the fact that it was two professional licensed therapists in the same room, both consenting to this, to me, really tarnishes kind of what the massage therapy profession should be about. It could be a one-time instance. Who's to say that feelings are going to back up again in the future? So, I would agree with him. I'd like to see this in the form. So,
So does this mean that we need to bring up the other therapist on charges here? Because if we're going to try to take his license, we need to make sure she can have the RS in a year, at least not for 5 years.
Her purpose is just as steady as his.
Well, that's my reason why we should revoke his license, because unless we're going to... Is that possible to bring her up on charges too?
Yeah, the board may have a motion to open up a claim for a staff or a complaint against the licensee. It's not like we've been there for staff here.
Thank you.
I am not leaning towards revocation of license. I appreciate that in my reading through this, while I think there were things that shouldn't have been said, what goes between two people is kind of their business. My concern is what happened in the massage therapy room on the table. And I do commend Mr. Harris for being present and being honest. I would hope that this experience would help you be professional at work and keep your private life private. So I'm really not I'm personally not interested in going to a formal hearing. And I don't know if we can, but I kind of would like to put a note on LG's, and maybe we can't do that, to note that should she go to renew, that we need to have a discussion about that. But that's not on the table right now. What's on the table is Mr. Harris. So, yes.
I made a mistake. She's a total license lack over 3 years.
So she cannot go. She cannot. In order for her to.
Yeah, reapply.
She has to reapply. Mr. Harris, is it possible for us to tag her account with this, or would we have to?
It sounds like that's something that could be noted in the system. We have to look at the timing, make sure that there's some law about your jurisdiction.
Of course.
Which is a better purpose for the license that we didn't find out about the plan. So we can investigate that.
Okay, so.
I'm still up for a consent agreement.
Okay, how about what would you like in the consent agreement? And then we'll let the board discuss it before we go to
the vote. If I may, sorry for that. Really, the consent agreement would be useful if you were inclined to revoke, could offer a surrender, but this is a formal interview where you have to talk to just the folks because we don't need to.
We don't need
consent. The consent agreement is. It does resolve all matters and amicably prevents future hearings. Just want to make sure you're aware. We have the power to order it. The consent agreement has its own value. And order it. Mutually agreed. But everything short of suspension.
Civil penalty.
Okay.
Suspension.
What length of time?
6 months. Maybe through the other board members. Well, we still have to discuss it with the other board members, but they still want
to. Well, yes, so my thought is to come up with if they have, we have two attorneys, and so to perhaps come up with something short of going to a formal hearing and see if we can be on board with that. Okay?
I mean, if we do the civil penalty, can we focus on continuing education, business practice, and ethics?
Yes.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
16 hours.
16 hours? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And ethics and business practice, and I think that one should be one class, not online.
Okay.
Because I think the violations was. Appropriate for that,
okay.
Is this for the list of $1,000? I think that's what it says here.
Mr. Rain is He said we can go under. I don't know about that. Okay. So, in the last case, the civil penalty was 250. Do you feel this one is more? In addition to his regular CEs and to be board approved in class in ethics and business practices. Is there a motion?
I move that we make a motion for that.
John Ortega, I second.
Does this need to be a roll call vote?
This would need to be a roll call. If I may just restate it to make sure where we are, so you would have finding the fact that the sergeant has been agreed upon, occurred, the location had occurred, that sexual activity occurred with the client, violating 4253, 810, harm to the public, and the defendant, sexual activity, under the appropriate definition for that term. Six-month suspension, 16 hours of continuing education, the courses reference, $500. Business practices. As to be completed within the six-month suspension period, or?
Yes.
And
it's all back before the board when it's completed.
And those would be live in-person courses approved?
Correct.
In addition to the
24-hour. Correct. Okay. We have a roll call vote. Mr. Ramsey?
Kevin Ramsey, no.
Mr. Ortega?
John Ortega, yes.
Clark?
Mike Clark, yes.
Chair Bowman, yes. The motion passes. You will be contacted by staff. Thank you for coming today, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Okay, investigative reviews. We have number 20-111, Romania, Harran. Would you please come forward and be escorted to the stage?
My estranged husband and I have been
this for a year and a half after he was in place to stay in the job, just after graduating massage therapy school. And so I lost my son to DCS. And through that time, my best friend husband proceeded to get back with the family. And I was attempting to let him know that he can't unless he goes through the same situations that I've gone through, jumping hoops, doing what I needed to do to get myself a bit. I have gone through getting my caregiving certificate as well as being licensed massage therapist. I've gotten my son back within the last year and a half, and it's just a matter of getting together, and he'll start an argument right off. And it's just a provocative situation.
How old is your son?
My son is 13. And he's transgender.
Is he with you or your ex, or
he is with me?
Or is it joined?
No, my husband has no parental rights per order of DCS because he failed to show up, stand up, and provide responsibility.
Does anyone on the board have questions?
John Kagan. So what have you learned from this?
I've learned that even though there's family involved, it's best to stay separated and not join. If you're not going to stand up and provide for your child, then you need not to be with me at all. I've done everything I possibly could to raise myself up and make a better life for both my son and I.
And in terms of getting yourself in these situations again, that's really what I was asking.
No, not at all. I don't care to lose my opportunity of having good employment, helping people, passing on the knowledge of health and well-being is something that I work hard for, and I really don't want to lose that.
Did all three of these charges happen on the same date?
No, ma'am. They've happened within the last, let's see, we lost our place in 2014. So, throughout between 2014 and the last one is when they occurred, always on separate occasions.
Mr. Rivers, any questions? Ms. Clark, any questions?
These charges here, these are all in relation. What was the essence that brought these about?
Explain.
So you have been charged with disorderly conduct, assault, intent, knowing cause of injury. Is this in relation to the...
Yes. In relation to the separation of marriage. Yes.
Could you explain about the drug paraphernalia, possession and use?
I had just basically been graduated after 3 months. I was homeless. I ended up homeless, and I was on my way to fishing, and I had a joint to sit, relax,
just be me while I attempt to feed myself. And my bag dropped off my bike, and somebody picked it up and took it to the university police. And it was, yeah.
Have you had any further communication with your ex since this date? The last one on June 18th?
No, ma'am.
And you and your son are now?
My son and I now are in our own two-bedroom apartment. We're 13 minutes away from his school. He's A and B student, and we're getting along. Him being transgender is a difficult situation for me, but we're learning through counseling and therapy how to get along. He was taken away for a year and a half. So getting back together is a little rough because most of the time in his life I was the one to be working. So I was there but not there. And so now there is definitely a bond, but trying to click onto what we're going through now. Is it difficult?
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Do you have any questions?
Are you in any kind of treatment for trying to deal with these situations and try to be able to handle how you have to?
I am a member of Kodak and have been for the last 4 years.
What is it?
Kodak Behavioral Health.
Okay.
I am registered for domestic violence classes that start next month. My son is on diversion so that we can get this, past this, and proceed to live.
Any other questions?
Where are you currently employed?
I work as a housekeeper. I work 4 hours a day, 1 day a week at Cloud 9 location.
Do you intend to resume massage therapy at any time?
I would like to. I do have one friend/client that comes by. He was my special populations body in school. He's a retired vet and a quadriplegic, so he comes by and we barter trade our services. He'll take me to a food bank or to other situations to where I can be taught at and educated and just share my knowledge with other people.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Comment would be, I don't see where this would affect her ability to practice massage. My only sticking point is failure to notify us, which to me is always worth $100.
John.
I guess I'm gonna, I don't understand. And I think this man has brought himself through some really tough stuff, and I would be willing to waive that and dismiss the complaint. So I move that we dismiss this complaint and wish you well. Is there a second?
John Dagan, a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Good luck. Good luck. You're doing a good job and keep moving forward. 13-year-olds aren't easy. Boys or girls, they're not easy pleasure.
This is true. And 5,793 pounds.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Pleasure. Okay, let us move on. We now have case. Okay, 20-113, Serena Cox Pitt, if you're present, would you please come forward? Not here? Okay, Mr. White, would you please give us an overview of this?
Ms. Pitts received a complaint. I've been notified by board staff and Kathy, she notified me that Ms. Pitts had turned in a falsified renewal application and was signed, stating that all facts were true and they weren't.
So okay.
She had sent her CDs.
Okay, and she is here to discuss this with us. She has been notified. Did you speak with her, or was this by registered mail, or?
I left a message on the phone last day, and I'm taking it.
Do we know if she is attempting to complete her?
I think she completed it now. But that would be in the admin. That would have that
record. Right, at this point, and will, when she does this late, is there a late fee to?
There's going to be a late fee, yeah.
Late fee for the application. Okay.
Because when they come in, application like that is basically rejected. So the date starts when they get the raw material again. They have received it at the time that you sent her the complaint notice and then we received a complaint.
What would we like to do?
Please move us to the
formal interview.
Yes, just to find out. Why should we provide the false information to the staff?
Is that a motion, Mr. O'Connor?
Yes, it is.
Do I have a second?
Or a second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Okay, let's move on. We've already done. Okay, so the next case is 20-115, Xu Ling Li. Is she present? And could you come forward? Thank you. We'll give you a minute to get up here. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Ben Toto.
Okay, and your name, please?
Reese Gochal, CHOU.
Thank you. Mr. White? Yes.
Ms. Lee, what's the notification that she failed to notify of her arrest and conviction? She was arrested for one count of prostitution, one count of employee of house of prostitution, one count of illegal control of enterprise, one count of securing proceeds of offense. She pled guilty to securing proceeds of offense, and she's the co-defendant of this young lady that was earlier in this home.
Mr. Chow, do you have a statement?
Well, this is called the top of the mind for statement. I don't know if I can give a
statement. So, Mr. Ray, would it be in the board's best interest to take this to formal hearing?
Well, as Mr. White indicated, you had the co-defendant in the same proceedings present before you.
And were they at the same facility?
Yes. You can of course speak with the applicant and the licensee about these matters, but I would just remind you that was the exact same charges, essentially, the same ultimate conviction. The matter occurred earlier when there was a consent agreement that you rejected.
And has
and your options are informal interview, formal hearing in the morning.
We offered a consent agreement for this one as well? Have we offered a consent agreement for this one?
No, I don't believe you have. Those were negotiated with your with Sabrina Khan, your other attorney, but nothing has been presented to me.
And that one was scheduled for formal interview.
Right. Okay.
I will be in the case 20-115 to all in
favor. Okay, is there a second?
One part second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes. So we will, you can be in touch with board staff. There will be a formal interview.
Probably December 16th.
Probably the December 16th. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we now have case 20-116, Rodney Jones. If you're in the audience, please come forward. Case of is coming forward. It's Mr. Jones. The next case will be 20-117, Justin Blanchard. So if you'd like to come up this direction so we can just expedite our cases. Thank you. Okay, please have a seat. Mr. Hoyt?
Yes. Mr. Jones was received a complaint based on a complaint from an individual. That on three occasions, while she was a patient at Sabino Recovery, he was unprofessional and used inappropriate sexual related conversation. Basically, sexual assault on her on three different occasions by putting his penis in her hand and letting the nigga there.
Mr. Jones, would you like to give us your side of the story?
Sure. So yes, I'm not an employee, I'm an independent contractor at Sabino Recovery. It focuses on trauma recovery. The individual residents. I'll refer to her as resident. That's okay.
Excuse me, state that again, please.
It's the person who complained or made the accusation, I'll just refer to her as a resident because that is how we refer to her there. So I work with this resident on four accounts, I believe, and first session that I had with her was she had recently arrived, was quite anxious, quite apprehensive, which is not uncommon for nearly 100% of the people that come to our facility. She was scheduled for a massage, so I also, just to state that I practice three kind of focuses of types of modalities. So massage, which I would consider muscular, connective tissue focused, varying from deep tissue to lighter tissue to specific injury rehabilitation. And then I also practice craniosacral therapy, which is a bit on the other side of the spectrum, very, very light, very more oriented towards the central nervous system. And then I also practice shiatsu, which is works primarily with concepts of the qi flow and more along the lines of what acupuncture would address, but without needles. When the resident and I were scheduled, she was scheduled for a massage. She, in our preliminary interview, we discussed some injuries, some surgeries that she had incurred prior, from maybe 3 weeks was the most recent to maybe 3 years, something along those lines. And so the techniques that I used in that session were very much more oriented towards the craniosacral style of approach, much less invasive, much more geared towards settling the central nervous system, and geared towards this area of her injuries, kind of surrounding the heart area. And at the end of the session, considerable change in disposition, change in her expression of her comforts, her just general well-being. Second session, we did a massage more geared towards musculature. Then she had carried over more of her ease. Now she's been in residence longer, she's more settled. Third session, she came, and in the initial interview, very distressed. She had complaints about being treated like a child, being treated felt like she had been demeaned by the other staff and her therapists, and it was revolving around an issue of receiving mail-ordered items from Amazon. She said, in her distress, she related that everybody, all the residents are allowed to order things. They all get things at particular times. And she said, just happens that mine all came, six items came at once. And so they're giving me such a hard time about it, so much grief, treating me like a child. They're getting very restricted and in that initial interview, she made mention of the items that she had received, which were very she made statements, and I concurred with her. And in my interviews with clients, very rarely
or to my, the best of my ability, do I try to meet them or plant? Primarily, my focus is to relate and kind of just acknowledge their distress, if it's distress or if it's happiness or whatever the case may be. So for her in that instance, she was feeling very upset and stating things like she had received, shoes or a bag or something along those lines. And most certainly I said something along the lines of, at least it could have been something more, more scandalous to get so much grief for it, like a pair of handcuffs or something. So certainly I did say that. The accusation is that I made mention of bondage items. I would disagree that I did. It's certainly possible that I may have said the words or some sort of bondage thing, possible, but in my pattern, my interactions with people, it's often that I am just reflecting, so I would say more accurately, I probably said handcuffs, probably in a way to empathize with her feeling restricted, and then I believe that she went on to maybe amplify a little bit and maybe more reference to bondage items. I may have just said totally in agreement, and then we did the session, nothing out of the ordinary. Fourth session, she came to me again, checking in. She said, I feel so much better. I got apologies from the people that were giving me such grief. I feel much more at ease. Did the session just as normal. And at this point, we've kind of developed a rhythm. There's kind of some clients or some residents will come, and I will see them once. I won't see them for a few weeks. I may see them again intermittently. Residents are there for just over 30 days. And then in other instances, residents will come, and we'll develop a bit of a rhythm.
Excuse me, could you stick to the complaint?
Okay, so just kind of leading up to how the complaint came about, as far as I'm aware. So if I can cut it directly to the complaint, if you want to just say, no, I did not touch with my hands.
Thank you.
And I do wish to protect her privacy. This recovery facility, what are the typical reasons or the type of recovery that people come there for?
Yeah, it's general, any type of trauma-based scenarios. There's a huge percentage of sexual trauma. There's a percentage of physical assault trauma. It could be from veterans to all sorts of any form of trauma that leads to some sort of disorganization for them.
So it is not, say, a drug and an alcohol recovery place. It is a trauma recovery place.
Many people come with drug and alcohol issues, not all, and the approach, whatever the symptoms that they come with, the approach is to address the trauma first.
Thank you. Questions from the board?
Steve's not here.
She's from?
She's in Colorado Springs.
Would she be available for any more hearings?
Yes. Be a problem, yes.
Thank you. What became of the police investigation?
Still pending. The investigation is complete, but it's now on a list on the docket for January, end of January.
would we like to send it to formal interview so we can get all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Board Staple. Good back with you. Thank you. Okay, and let's move on to Justin Blanchard, 20-117.
First, I've invited Craig
guilty to the possession of marijuana at Mason Municipal, and then the possession, her possession of paraphernalia there, possession of marijuana and trespassing were combined. And for those, is the one I took the plea to take probation for. And I can't foresee any of this continuing to, you know, happen, any more mishaps in my future. I'm very confident in my recovery right now. And it's unfortunate that I had to go through all that stuff to, you know, be able to set a positive example of professionalism in the massage therapy industry. But, you know, when it comes to clientele, I'm completely professional, always have been. I've got a lot of requests all the time at the spa I'm at, and I had my manager send you guys in a letter, just his opinion of me as an employee and as a professional massage therapist. I'm not sure if you guys received that, so I sent one in again on Friday because he sent me a copy. And,
I do have an easy one.
Has he described it correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I just want, you know, the opportunity to continue doing my passion in massage therapy. I'm really truly passionate about it, and it's, you know, been a great career for me ever since I began. It's been my full-time job ever since I've gotten out of school. I haven't really done many other jobs since, and I really enjoy it. I'm in practice right now as a licensed massage therapist at Family Stone in Champaign. And if you guys have any questions for me, I'll be glad to answer them.
Staff prepare a consent agreement that would
establish the findings of fact?
Yeah, I mean, one way to approach it would be if it's just a civil penalty but a failure to report, we would just note that
okay.
He's charged with crimes in any case and didn't have
to report. And didn't report, and they're given a civil penalty of $100?
Yes.
Then they take care of?
Yes. We would need, how much time would you take?
9 days?
9 days.
Okay. And the motion could indicate it's not accepted to proceed to court.
It's a formal order to accept that.
We've issued that order a lot, so that it really just reflects his specific circumstances of the charges that he received. It would be pretty routine for that.
And those were all dealt with, and they're all class 1 misdemeanors.
Yeah, I believe we'll only cite as important because otherwise the federal court shall
charge. Yeah, the only issue with the address is you're not reporting it to the board.
Oh, yes, and I forgot that I had to report it to the board of my requirements, so I take responsibility for that mistake. I was harmless for that time.
So, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we use consent agreement and fine $100 for non reporting of the civil issues that we have to deal with. And if not accepted, then we'll go to formal.
John, take a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. Thank you. So staff can get in touch with you?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Are we on it? It is 1:22. We will take an 8-minute relaxation break.
This is for Virginia.
Yes.
Yeah. So which one is the Metro National Police on 123? Is John Jane?
Oh, I'm sorry, I had wrong. That's where I just met National Police. And it's been cleared. We'll just miss it. Sorry about that.
So, Mr. Rayner is.
You have grounds for extensions for denying a license for convictions, but not.
I'm like Farb second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay, let's go on to Hong Mei Lee. What have we here, Mr. White?
Yes, Hong Mei Lee was arrested for prostitution in San Diego in 2013 and also 2017. The 2013 case was dismissed. The 2017 case was also dismissed. That's the one I was telling you about when they had the routine of being arrested for prostitution. Mark was cave, but no convictions.
So there's nothing in our having good moral character that covers any of this and denial?
How would you say that?
No, it's dismissed.
Well, yeah, your just moral character is defined in rule, and the definition of moral character requires convictions to establish a definition.
Thank you.
Just to clarify for the board without getting too deep and running into an executive session, there are other potentially applicable grounds for denial of licensure that could apply to circumstances. I'm only speaking about the criminal element to carry out the criminal charges and convictions. Your statute on the prior convictions. It's grounds for denial of a license to engage in conduct. That would be grounds for discipline if you are licensed. So the analogy would be,
therapy. And next time you got dismissed, you could still consider that it would be conduct and regress for discipline, but these matters don't have that information.
Thank you.
So again, we have my.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will move that Juan may be issued for an annual massage license. Emily Clark, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay, we now have King Yang. Mr. White?
Yes, ma'am. She was arrested on 1/16/2018, again for prostitution. Keeping the house of Bill Bang. That case was had no filing date. That they didn't take it any further. She was detained for only the interest of justice.
So she was on charge?
No.
Just retained?
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of Mr. Taylor writing.
Well, we have to have, I guess we have to go ahead and call them. So, I will move that King Yang be issued for her son's massage license.
I have a question first. What is this guilty plea in 2018?
That's the same case. It's not a guilty plea. They dismissed the case on the interest of justice. That means that it didn't go no further. They were offered, she was offered a guilty plea. But they dismissed it for interest of justice, but maybe she gave the information up, or that more like that's what it was. They put that chat acronym down there. It's confusing. Sometimes I actually had to look that one up because in different states they use a different acronym. So I'm not going to talk about that one.
Thank you.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any opposed? The motion carries to issue the license. Okay. So we now have Taylor Brannigan.
He's coming around.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. I got home. Talk about your brother.
Do you have a massage license in Nebraska and you're going to arrest your posse?
Correct.
for the whole?
7 years.
Yeah.
Massaging without a license,
What I've passed out to board members and staff is just some of the highlights of what some of the notes that I took. One of the things that stood out to me was the human trafficking thing that's been going on. A lot of that in the prostitution, unfortunately, the majority of it is within the Asian population, which we have had a number of individuals come before us regarding issues that they have been arrested for, convicted of, failed to notify us of their convictions within 10 days. One of the things that I'll just kind of go along a little bit of my outline here. One of the things that we've had issues with, and some of the other states also have issues with, is communication issues between client and therapist. And a lot of those communication issues have dealt within the Asian community, not being able to communicate proficiently English, which is our native language here in the United States. They have had issues where we had a gentleman talk about the NLEX exam, the national exam, which says that we know a bit more about massage than maybe somebody else that hasn't taken the NLEX. The security that's involved with being able to take the NLEX, they've had how to detect fraud and theft because there's a lot of fraud with people cheating on the NLEX, schools that are issuing fraudulent diplomas, fraudulent transcripts saying that they went to massage therapy school and they didn't. They would have people go take the NLEX test for them. Once they received a license, that individual would take that license and make copies and pass it out to several different people. And when investigations were held, they discovered that some of these people that they came in contact with had the same names, same addresses, same phone numbers, same license number, and that's not too cool. Some of the states do have photo IDs and lamination of their licenses. I know Arizona used to have photo IDs on them, and then they stopped because of budget cuts, I think. But I think because of the situation that they were discussing, putting photo IDs back on the licenses would be prudent at this point to help prevent some of this cheating and people fraudulently saying that they're licensed when they're not. Some of the frauds that they were also looking at is when people would fill out the applications for the NLEX to prove where they went to school. Some of the responses were, well, a friend filled it out for me, the application, or I'm allergic to the computer, and I just Googled the school. They would show reports showing that individuals had passed when they, in reality, they actually failed. They would have proxy testing, somebody else taking the test for them. They would also have what was called harvesting or stealing questions, which is really kind of hard to catch. Memorizing questions, writing on the hands, using glasses with cameras in them to take pictures and camcorders within the cameras and things like that. Putting cameras and buttons on your sleeve and sitting at the computer like this when they take pictures of the screen for the questions. They would have schools where Asians, and I go back to that because that's the most, the population that seems to violate this the most, have schools where these people would go to learn how to cheat on the NCLEX. They would actually live at these schools. These schools have been investigated. People would buy transcripts, and they would also catch them through the investigation because some of these people were not smart enough, and they put these licenses up on social media, and they got caught. So that's not really too cool. Because of some of the investigations, over 470 invalidations of the NCLEX results from some of the investigations into the schools and individuals, their NCLEX scores will be invalidated and they will not get their NCLEX accreditation. Some of the state highlights, I'll just go through some of them really quick that I've learned. Georgia has photo IDs on the massage licenses and English proficiency. Georgia, when they have someone come before them that has a translator, they request that the individual, they're handed something from the NCLEX and they're asked to read whatever it was that they've been given. They have to explain it in English to prove to the board that they understand what they're reading. They can explain what it is sufficiently to prove to the board that they have enough communication proficiency to be able to communicate between themselves and the client that they're working on. So both parties are understood and to be understood. Indiana has no license to anyone that has a criminal background in another state. They've increased their hours from 500 to 625, plus the NCLEX or state-approved exam. Louisiana is using billboards because of the human trafficking and prostitution issue. They're using billboards to educate the public. Says, look for the license, and it gives the website for the massage board. This one was good. Tennessee did 100% audit. I know that's kind of difficult for us to do with regard to the CEs for the therapists, and they found 87% were non-compliant with reporting their CEs to the board for their renewals. 87%, which that's a lot. Okay, that's a lot. So Utah has up to $2,000 a day for practicing without a license. So that's their fine for those people that want to continue practicing massage without a license. In Oregon, CBD is on the books that they can use it, but they have a CE minimum competency in order to be able to use it. Michigan has renewal licenses every 3 years with 18 CEs, but they must take CEs in pain management and ethics. We had a lady from Massage Envy come in and talk about the support that they give massage therapists. Massage Envy is partnered with RAIN, which is Rape and Incest National Network. They get their guidance from the Safety Advisory Council. The kind of support that they provides a safe environment for total body care. They have a brochure that talks about that. With their prevention, they have a pre-employment background check for all before hires of all service providers, and they also are doing it annually now. They have reference checks in any crime or sexual content whatsoever. They are not hired if they find that in any kind of a background. They have to do a practical interview, and they have a zero tolerance code of conduct. And if you mess that up,
you are not eligible for rehire. And they also have reinforced safety with continual network training. We had a meeting. One of the ladies that's on the FSMTV board, Deborah Persinger, they have requested that the Federation help assist the state in assisting challenges that have been having in their state, like the passing rate of the MLEX. So the Federation took a really deep look into some of the Mississippi schools and to find out if their state's getting good therapists graduating with good knowledge. Well, they found that in 24 states, after doing a review, between 600 and 640 hours of schooling, they do have a good pass rate. As you increase the number of hours, that pass rate drops a little bit. ABMT also has an exam coach, which will help you. They also talked about the MLEX check, which has questions for a readiness assessment. To keep on going here, they emphasized at the conference having regulators work continuously with law enforcement and code enforcement, building relationships with regard to human trafficking, prostitution, fraudulent schools, diploma mills, and licensing. And they really highly suggested that executive directors should be building these relationships and working closely with law enforcement, and that includes all the states. So I assume you're doing that.
You are.
Yeah. In Louisiana, CBD must be registered with the Louisiana Department of Health. Florida, LFTs, if they're found to be using CBD, they get letters of concern. In Washington State, they have a House Bill 2136 that must be approved by CHABA, Cannabis Health and Beauty Aids. So CBD was very foremost in one of the discussions, because there's a lot of patients, and in the field that I work in oncology, I see a lot of patients that use CBD oil. However, I will not use it. There's even though it's being used in a small minute form, it compounds over a period of time that it could still be picked up in a therapist's body as being that they could possibly be using it. So all massage therapists have to kind of be careful with that. Pennsylvania says no CBD for LFTs. So if you're working in Pennsylvania, LFTs are not allowed to use CBD in their practices. Also with CBD, ABMP, they have liability coverage, as many of you know. If using it is within your scope of practice, you're covered. If you happen to be working in a facility or a medical clinic that does utilize that, and it's within your scope of practice for your job, you're covered. If it's not, you're not covered. And everything about CBD is based on state rules in each state. We also talked about deregulation, and that really brought an uproar to pretty much everybody in the room. And I know that we had an issue not too long ago with the possibility of being deregulated in our House, Senate, and it was kind of failed, which I'm glad to see. Most people in the states that were there, the delegates, they all have chimed in and had something to say about the deregulation, that if massage therapy in their state was deregulated, you'd have more human trafficking, more prostitution, and nobody would be held accountable for it. So there was no recourse for a client or a patient to come back to have that therapist charged or penalized
because of what they did. When I got home, I went up to the Federation website and I found a report that was done in 17. It's 40-some pages long. Go up there and look at it. I printed it out and I read it in one afternoon and was just totally blown away with the things that they had to deal with. But this was an investigation into human trafficking. And it was just amazing. And it opened my eyes, even though I've been on the board now for 2.5 years, and I hope I can continue. I didn't realize that what they were having to deal with in this report is not just here in Arizona, it's widespread. And a majority of it, unfortunately, is within the Asian population. Because if they find ways to pass and get a license, and then if they can't, they go to another state and they keep moving around until they're able to get what they want. And the prostitution, human trafficking is just not a good thing. And deregulating that in every state, the massage therapy in every state would be absolutely disastrous for everyone concerned. But mostly, they also had talked about the CE registry. And I know you sent out an email just the other day about someone that you were meeting with. In fact, I think I got it here. But the Federation has the CE registry, which once it comes, it's actually live, but they're not putting it out right now exactly. It's going to be announced that, okay, now it's up, it's ready to go, and everything is going to be hunky-dory. The providers that teach continuing educations are going to be putting information from the people that take these continuing education classes. They're going to have to put in the name, license number, the name of the class, how many hours are in that class, where it was located, what day it was done on, and who the instructor was, and how many hours that they were given for that continuing education class. So when we're doing investigations on do the therapists have their continuing education, we can go up to that CE registry and find out. Just type in their name, license, and everything, and it should pull right up. It's a way to cover us, and it's a way to cover the therapist. Also, Matilda, we've signed up for that. We've signed papers and stuff to start utilizing it. But Arizona was not one of the states on the list to do the CE registry. And I think that that's something that we need to really look into doing. The onboarding for the Matilda, which is the database that... it checks to see if the therapist has taken the MLEX and whether or not they've passed it. It's ongoing slowly right now, but they want to make sure that that's working successfully. Have you been to the summer?
In March of this year.
Okay. And one of the other things that they were talking about was it was suggested that we find ways to develop a relationship with the Asian community and help them learn how to police themselves so that cheating and the dishonesty and the prostitution stuff might get a little bit better. But I think the two things that I really took away, even though I have a list of about 7, the two real things that I took away from the whole thing because of all the prostitution, the human trafficking and all the issues that we've had to deal with, putting photos back on the licenses. I think that is something that Arizona needs to go back to. I also think that if there is a way that we can laminate them, I think that would be best. One of the girls from Alaska and a couple of the others, they had cards like what we have here. They're a little bit harder. But they have a photo ID dilapidated, so they're not going to get dilapidated or bent or wet and shriveled up, or the printing and stuff coming off the picture would still be there, to help prevent people from saying that, oh, I'm so-and-so, I'm John Smith. Well, no, I'm John Smith. No, I'm John Smith. And that way, you've got a way to really identify each and every person. And the other one was the English proficiency. Using something that the therapist that does not speak a lot of English, like we saw with a couple of translators here today, to make sure that they understood what they were reading, could explain what it was that they're reading back to the board, so they could communicate relatively well. And I just found one brief little thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Rain. Under statute 32.42.22e, it regards communication proficiency. I think being able to communicate in a manner with your client when you don't speak a lot of English is of utmost importance, because if you can't, you're going to have more people coming before the board with issues like we've seen here today and in past board meetings. So between the licenses with photos and the English proficiency, those are the two biggest ones that I think really need to be addressed. We need to discuss and talk about that.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I believe now we have our next board meeting date is November 25
yes.
in Phoenix.